We're discussing a chapter of Wisconsin political history with the governorship of Pat Lucey. We're exploring the biography here on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. But first, let's discuss our year-end member drive that's just kicked off on this Giving Tuesday. I'm here with Jean Purcell. Good morning.
Good morning, Kate.
And we count on WPR for these in-depth discussions. It's your support that keeps these conversations going strong. And on this Giving Tuesday, your gift right now makes a big difference, both this year and sets us up for 2021 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's a brand new hour, and that means we've got a brand new goal. And this hour, we are looking for 20 gifts before 9 o'clock. These hourly goals are important. What they do is they help us stay on track throughout the pledge drive so that we can keep the discussion going strong here on the Ideas Network. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You are powerful because people who listen, you provide the most significant share of funding for WPR programs. And your donation is an investment in Wisconsin Public Radio and in programs that deliver the greatest value to you.
Yeah, your donation really is an investment because it's your contribution that keeps independent public service radio on the air for you and for the entire community. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
You can turn on the radio every day or your smart speaker, whatever it is, without an upfront charge and enjoy hours of trustworthy news, in-depth conversations, book conversations. Oh, I love them. WPR is available to everyone because listeners like you help cover the costs.
It really is available to everyone, and that's important. And it's important that you join in today and become a member with your first ever gift of maybe $10 or $20 a month at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
We have an opportunity to come together and support the organizations we care about. Today is Giving Tuesday, a day for people around the world to support the nonprofits that make a difference in our communities. Your gift to Wisconsin Public Radio powers the trustworthy news, community connections, and refreshing entertainment that you and so many others rely on. Giving Tuesday is a global movement. Be a part of it with your gift to WPR right now. Here's how.
That's right. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's listener support that is the biggest source of funding for WPR programs that you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so critical. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you set it at $100 a month, somewhere in between, more than that. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
And giving to WPR is easy. We don't need too much. It takes just a few minutes. We'll need your name, contact information, the amount of your gift, and finally, how you'd like to pay.
It takes just a few minutes to make your contribution to Wisconsin Public Radio. And those few minutes, they fund your daily listening. Your support right now absolutely makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
When just 20 more people support WPR programs in about the next 50 minutes or so, we are going to meet our goal for this hour and we'll be on our way for a successful Giving Tuesday. WPR is listener powered, and that's why it's your gift right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's so important.
Well, you could choose the Reach Out and Read Thank You gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Think about it. You'll make a difference for WPR. And you provide books to kids in your community during their doctor's visits.
And by the way, if you're already a sustaining member of Wisconsin Public Radio, thank you. But on Giving Tuesday, consider increasing your support of WPR by $5 or maybe $10 a month, the amount that you choose. And you can do that at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. 2552.
We heard from Evelyn in Oak Creek who says, in these times, I feel I need to step up my giving to organizations that are sane and truthful. Rosalie and Christopher in Whitefish Bay, they say at this time, we can only do a little bit to support high quality journalism. If many of us do a little bit, we can make a better world. Thank you both so much. Your gift right now is so critical, so important at WPR.org. Everyone do their part. 888-202-2552. And thanks. Patrick J. Lucy was elected twice as governor for our state, credited with building the modern Democratic Party in Wisconsin. He was the only eighth Democratic elected governor since Wisconsin statehood. What do you want to know about Lucy's life and legacy? Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. Conversation is at 800-642-1234. Dennis Driesang is Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science and Founding Director of the La Follette School of Public Affairs at UW-Madison. His biography is called Patrick J. Lucy, A Lasting Legacy. Dennis, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
Well, put this in some context for us. I mean, this is a man, Patrick Lucy, grew up during the Great Depression, born before the 19th Amendment was ratified, born before women had the right to vote. How did his beliefs, his upbringing, his, you know, alter and change his political sensibilities? How did that form?
Well, it got formed in his early years, like most of the rest of us. He was born in Ferryville, Wisconsin. I'm sure everybody knows where that is, and everybody's been through it. It's a little old town on the Mississippi River. It has 175 people when everybody's home, and it's had 175 people since the beginning of history. So very small, very rural. He was born in a Catholic family, Jesuit Catholic family, and that's important because it really informed a kind of social justice set of values for him. And in a community that was really dominated by Norwegians, Norwegian Lutherans, that gave him a sense of being somewhat of a minority, in an ethnic minority, a religious minority, and sensitized him to some of the values that then later on showed up. At one point in his history, he was he had a choice of either staying with his family and helping out in the family business. His father was a very successful entrepreneur, or going into politics. And it was Joe McCarthy that was responsible for prompting Pat Lucy to become a politician rather than staying with the family business. Later on, Pat Lucy actually became a very successful real estate developer and real estate agent. Those of us in the Madison area have lots and lots of parts of the legacy of his real estate business. The whole Wexford development area on the west side of Madison is a Pat Lucy development. So he, as you mentioned, he was elected governor, and he was elected governor for the first time that our governors served a four-year term. We had changed our constitution, like a lot of its other states at the time, too, to go from two-year terms to four-year terms. Pat Lucy was the first to serve a four-year term, and that enabled him to pursue an agenda rather than thinking about getting reelected in another 2 years. And that was very important, and he had an agenda. It was incredible. He wanted to modernize state government, which included merging the various parts of the University of Wisconsin into the University of Wisconsin system that we currently have today. He transformed Wisconsin politics into a competitive two-party state. He reconceptualized financial relations between the state and local governments and did it in two ways. What he often referred to as double duty dollars, the revenue stream was more progressive, relied less on the property tax, more on the income tax. So that was part of it. But the other part was to have the state take over major responsibility for the expenses of K through 12 education, welfare programs, health programs, and the like, so that By doing that, your ability to have a satisfying life in Wisconsin depended less on your zip code. And they actually didn't have zip codes back then, did
they? Well, and a lot of this was in a to-do list in his pocket.
Exactly. And it literally was. He had about 24 items on a sheet of paper, and he had that in his pocket. And when he was in the governor's office, he slipped it into a drawer in the governor's desk. And before he left the governor's office, he was able to check off everything on that agenda except for one, and that is no-fault insurance. He tried but didn't get it. We now have no-fault auto insurance. But it was just the most productive period in Wisconsin history in terms of major policies that we've had. Some would say ever. Others would say, well, it was kind of on a par when Bob La Follette was governor at the beginning of the 20th century.
Dennis Dreesing wrote the biography of Governor Pat Lucey, who was elected Wisconsin governor twice, beginning in 1970. What do you recall of Lucey's reform agenda? Did you support the UW system merger Lucey ushered in? What is his legacy? Join in on the book 800-642-1234. Conversation right here. We'll talk with biographer Dennis Dreesing right ahead here on the Ideas Network. We're discussing the life and legacy of Governor Pat Lucey, who was first elected in 1970 and helped rebuild the Democratic Party in Wisconsin. But first, we check in on our year-end membership campaign that is underway on this Giving Tuesday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell, and today is the first day of our drive on the Ideas Network. And as I said, it's Giving Tuesday, a global celebration of generosity, all of this converging. Your financial support is the foundation for all the great discussions you enjoy here every day. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make your tax-deductible year-end gift now for 2020 at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've got about 40 minutes left in this hour. Your opportunity to join in and help support all of the great work, all of the great radio that you hear every single day here at Wisconsin Public Radio. And by the way, a big thank you if you've already given.
And if you haven't, give now, right now, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. And your gift funds the programs you enjoy.
Every day, the team here at Wisconsin Public Radio and the Morning Show works hard to bring you a great morning of radio, Monday through Friday. And it's really a pleasure because we know that as listeners to the Ideas Network, you are curious and intelligent. And as a bonus, we also know that you like to have fun and you like to enjoy everything that Wisconsin has to offer.
Indeed. And thank you so much for being such a great contributor, such a great audience, and for being the reason our mission, the reason we do what we do. And you can give one more thing, your financial support. Your support makes these mornings possible. So give now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Perhaps you pay your bills online. Many of us do that, and it's an easy way to take care of that task. You can support WPR in that same streamlined way by becoming a sustainer.
You choose a monthly amount that works for you, say $10 or $20, and you're set up. Automatic, ongoing, monthly gifts from your bank account or credit card. Voila, at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It's easy to get started, and your support of WPR will always be current.
We have a special thank you gift this drive. Reach out and read books for kids.
What we do through Reach Out and Read is use primary care checkups and hand the book directly to the child. Does a child hold that book out to their parent in that read to me gesture? That tells me volumes about the child's development.
Support WPR programs and ask for the Reach Out and Read thank you gift. Give $10 a month or more at WPR.org or 888 202-2552.
That's right. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. It's your support during this year-end member drive that makes the WPR programs you rely on possible. And your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, that is the right amount.
You know, December is a great time of the year to think about what's important to you. You know, it's hard to believe it's December already, but it's here. Today is December 1st, and it is kind of that time of the year when you take stock. And because WPR is important to you, we're asking you to make a gift to support the station that you count on. You'll feel great when you give at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
That's right. We have a lion's share of the hour left, and we are looking for 18 more people to join in. You make WPR possible when you give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And don't forget, when you do give, you can choose the Reach Out and Read thank you gift when you give $10 a month or more at WPR.org. Or at 888-202-2552. You'll make a difference for WPR, and you'll help Wisconsin kids get a strong start in literacy.
Oh, so important. And if you're not a sustainer, become one right now. Super easy to set up. You'll make these ongoing monthly donations from your bank account or credit card. Super slick. WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to provide reliable support for the programs you love.
We heard from Ruth in Superior, who says, WPR makes me truly feel connected to my state and to the world. Thank you for that, Ruth. And Shay in Stevens Point says, I appreciate WPR's increasing local coverage of international issues. Thank you for your support.
And thank you for your support. We're exploring the new biography of the late governor of Wisconsin, Patrick Lucey, who died in 2014 at age 96. Here he is, interviewed by the Wisconsin Legislative Reference Bureau's Oral History Project in 2010.
I think the partisanship, certainly in Washington and in our state capital, is much more bitter than it was in my day.
Any idea what to do about it?
I don't know, Tim.
What do you want to know about Lucy's tenure and the Democratic Party in the 60s and 70s? It's 800-642-1234. Conversation right here, 800-642-1234. We have biographer Dennis Driesing, who is a professor emeritus of public affairs and political science at UW-Madison. Well, Dennis, you know, it's hard to believe that partisanship could be so bitter in 2010, and now we look at a decade later. What would Lucy say today?
Well, Lucy would have been chagrined, surprised, dismayed at the kind of political polarization that we're experiencing now. When he was involved in politics, there were conservative Democrats, there were liberal Republicans. There were friendships across the aisle. There were people that he disagreed with, but got to get their support when they were, for example, Republicans in the state Senate, primarily through a combination of friendship and just reasoning something through. That doesn't seem to be a possibility any longer. And he would not have been happy, just would not have been able to relate to that.
Let's bring in a call. Jeff is joining us from Milwaukee. Hi, Jeff. What is your question about the late Governor Lucey?
Hi, Dennis. My parents were supporters of Lucey and voted for him, I think, both of his terms. I was a little too young, but I guess my question to you is, what were his views on unions in the state? I would think from my father's support that he was in favor of our unions.
Let's see. That connection was breaking up for me.
He wanted to know about how Lucey felt about unions and where he stood with union support.
He certainly supported unions. He got union support throughout his political career. However, He took a position as he was helping to build the Democratic Party that Wisconsin should not follow the model of Minnesota. And Minnesota, as we probably know, or everybody knows, it's the Democratic Farmer Labor Party. And that means that it's a coalition of farmer groups and labor groups that is at the core of that party. Lucy took a different approach. He wanted to make it grassroots. He wanted union support. He wanted farmer support. He got that support, but he didn't want to give them an institutional position at the table as the Democrats were going about their business. There were a lot of policy positions that he pursued to enhance the power of unions. He disagreed with them at times and upset them, but for the most part, he was a supporter of labor unions.
How did he feel about donations from interest groups and, you know, small dollars fueling campaigns?
Oh, he was very much in favor of small dollars, and he was quite effective at raising money on a small donor kind of basis. He did have a couple of major fundraisers and a breakthrough with the Jefferson Jackson dinner. That's the major fundraiser for the Democratic Party. Did that when his friend, President John Kennedy, came as the keynote speaker, and he increased the fee there. But for the most part, what he relied on were member dues, you could become a member of the Democratic Party by paying, at that time, a $2 annual fee, $3 for a married couple. And that was really the basis for the finances of the Democratic Party until modern times. Now that's the Democrats also, they continue to rely on small donor amounts, but they also need to get big contributions too.
Yeah, Dennis Driesing is our guide, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science, author of Patrick J. Lucy, A Lasting Legacy. And you can ask your questions about Lucy at 800-642-1234. We'll pick this up ahead. Stay with us. News update is next here on the Ideas Network. We're exploring the life and legacy of Wisconsin's 38th governor, a new biography of Patrick Lucy. But first, it's our year-end membership drive, getting a great start on this Giving Tuesday. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and make a gift for the programs that keep you and so many others informed and inspired here on the Ideas Network. Thank you for making a difference in your community with your gift right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We're working our way through the hour. We've got about 25 minutes left to go before we hit 9 o'clock, and we continue to look for about 18 more people to join in with their support of Wisconsin Public Radio. Your gift right now is important, and that's because when you give, you support the programs that you rely on every single day.
Thank you so much if you've already given. And if you haven't, the time is now. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
We've been listening and learning about the life and political career of Pat Lucy. And, you know, I grew up in Wisconsin. And when Pat Lucy was governor, I was 10. So I wasn't really following politics that close. but it is really interesting to hear about the impact he has and continues to have, really, and how that continues to resonate across our landscape. And these are the kinds of conversations that you can count on every single day right here on the morning show.
That is for sure. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 2552. It makes the many topics that you join us for every day possible. Choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And it's easy to spend a dollar or more a day on things that are part of your routine. Think about that for a second. Think about that cup of coffee or maybe that favorite snack.
Snack. Did someone say snack?
Somebody did say snack.
Consider the news, the inspiration, the information that you have here during COVID from Wisconsin and around the world that you get every day from listening to WPR. So maybe a dollar a day, $30 a month is just the right donation for you. Sign up right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 and support the programs you enjoy every day.
Hi, I'm Lance from Madison.
And I'm Cheryl.
When did we become sustaining members? Cheryl, I'm trying to remember. It's been quite a while. You do
I think
finances.
Maybe it was about the same time that I moved here. So we've probably been sustaining members of WPR for about 10 years. We had each supported public radio in our respective states. And when I was an Iowa resident, I supported Iowa Public Radio and Lance supported Wisconsin Public Radio. And so I think when I moved here to Wisconsin, to Madison, we just pooled our efforts and decided to become sustaining members because we realized what a big part of our everyday life WPR had become and felt morally obligated to help support the programming.
Feel good and make a difference right now at WPR.org.
Oh, I love that. Just carrying it with you no matter where you tread. Go to WPR.org or 888-202-2552 to make your donation in support of the programs you count on. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Your support today of Wisconsin Public Radio keeps all the programs you enjoy going strong. Whether your contribution is $10 a month, whether it's $100 a month, we appreciate and we count on your gift.
You can join your friends, you can join your neighbors who all believe in the value of WPR, and more importantly, believe in the value of taking that extra step to support it. It takes the support of more than 50,000 members to make Wisconsin Public Radio as good as it can be.
Oh, I love that. And when you make your gift and join the team at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, you'll be doing your part to make sure that the news, that the information you need is here every day.
And, you know, we have been having a terrific hour here. In fact, we have met and exceeded our goal for this hour, which is terrific news. But here's the thing. Let's not let the momentum stop. Let's keep it going, and let's power well through that goal. Remember, WPR is listener-powered, and that's why it's your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552. That's so important.
We're exploring the new biography of the late governor of Wisconsin, Patrick Lucey, who passed away in 2014 at age 96, elected twice as Wisconsin's governor, builder of the modern Democratic Party. It is the first biography of our 38th governor, elected in 1970. What do you remember about Lucey? Do you have memories of his term? What questions do you have about 40s and 50s Wisconsin politics? 800-642-1234. Conversation is right here at 800-642-1234. We have Dennis Driesing, who is Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science at UW-Madison, and his biography is Patrick J. Lucey, aptly named there. Dennis, you know, how did Governor Lucey, once inside the governorship, how did he change the way state agencies were operating? What did he build?
Well, before Lucey became governor, Wisconsin had its major agencies run, for the most part, believe it or not, by part-time citizen boards. Other than the University of Wisconsin-Madison, which, you know, is run by the Board of Regents, the other largest agency was what was called then the Department of Health and Human Services, which included not only family services, children's services, health, but also corrections. And that enormous department with all those responsibilities was led by a citizen board that met for half a day once a month.
Wow.
Now you think about that. I mean, that's insane. And it was a legacy of the La Follette progressive era that was very much against having a lot of appointments. And but there was time, state government grew, its responsibilities grew, and Pat Lucy realized that we really needed to professionalize the management of state government. And so he did that. It was referred to as cabinet government. And one by one, he made agencies, cabinet agencies, and really pursued that very, very forcefully. And I think to the great benefit of everybody in Wisconsin.
What was it like to work for Pat Lucy?
Well, yeah, I've got former students who worked for him. I actually worked on a task force, staffed the task force as a director for him. And he was somebody who was very thoughtful, very demanding. He was very intellectual. I flatter myself by saying he was much more like a college professor than a politician. He was also a good mentor. He expected a lot from you and he wanted to listen to you. But boy, everybody who worked for him said not only was it challenging, but it was very satisfying. He was very kind. He had a good sense of humor. So he was not charismatic. Nobody ever accused him of being charismatic, but he was a very thoughtful and very hardworking governor.
Talking with Dennis Driesang, who is the author of Patrick J. Lucy, A Lasting Legacy. Let's take a call now. Linny is joining us from McFarland. Hi, Linny. Hi, Linny. Can you hear us? It doesn't seem like Linny can, but lives in Lucy's mother-in-law's cottage. And Linny is not there, but it seems like has quite a connection to the family.
Wow. Yeah. That's amazing.
Dennis, I'm wondering, the connection to the Kennedys. And I'm wondering, the first time Governor Lucy met John F. Kennedy, he was put off by him, but he ultimately had close ties with the Kennedys. Was there a bridge with Catholicism? What attracted him to this family?
Well, the Catholicism angle was that was a very important link. He was, Pat Lucy, when he was growing up, was very disappointed that Al Smith didn't win the first Catholic to run for president. Joe Biden, by the way, as people may know, is only the second Catholic to become president of the United States. Pat was very concerned that this religious discrimination be put aside, that we have a Catholic. At the time, there was all this stuff about, if you have a Catholic in the White House, that's like having a Pope running the country. And a lot of people really believed that. And he wanted to get over that. And John Kennedy was charismatic. And he was very able, very devoted. And Pat, as you mentioned, initially he was put off by the kind of Eastern aristocratic kind of style, but over the years became very, very fond of Jack Kennedy and vice versa. Pat actually became closer even to Bobby Kennedy.
Mm-hmm.
And the two of them were very, very close. And he fought hard to get Bobby Kennedy into the White House as well. It was with Bobby when the news of Martin Luther King's assassination was announced, and was with Bobby Kennedy when Bobby himself was assassinated. That was devastating. It almost prompted Pat Lucy to just get out of politics and just chuck the whole thing. But he realized that's not what Bobby Kennedy would have wanted.
Why did he become ambassador to Mexico?
That's a great question. And I think it was sort of a couple things. One is that the agenda that we talked about earlier had pretty much been completed. There wasn't the no-fault auto insurance. That was in its way, but it just never did come about. The last major item on there was court reorganization, getting rid of justice of the peace and setting up the courts the way we currently have them. And he was very concerned about that. So part of it was he accomplished what he wanted to accomplish as governor. The other part is that he did have a national presence, in part because of the Kennedys and his association there. But he also got involved with other national figures. So he got a little bit of a taste for the idea of being in Washington, D.C. and being on a larger stage outside of Wisconsin. Then we had a situation where the Mexicans became an oil-producing, gas-producing country, a major country, more so than they had been. And they wanted to up their prestige in the world and insisted that they get an ambassador when Carter had been elected president that was a major political figure rather than a career diplomat. And Walter Mondale, who knew Pat Lucy, Walter Mondale from Minnesota, he persuaded Carter to offer the position to Lucy. And so it was one of those situations where the timing was right, and Pat accepted the position of ambassador. That meant that he had to resign his position as governor just before he completed that second term.
What do Democrats carry in the Lucy tradition today? Where do you see it?
Well, I think that the kind of tradition that they carry is the progressive agenda, the commitment to progressive politics. One of the legacies of Pat Lucy that we've just had an experience with here in Wisconsin has to do with access to the ballot box. Pat Lucy, when he was governor, appointed a task force and said to the task force, look, I want people in Wisconsin to be able to vote. Let's open this up so people can vote and we really make this possible. And the result of that was that you could register at the polls at the very time that you voted if you hadn't registered before, that you could get what we call an absentee ballot without having to have all sorts of signatures or excuses or anything like that. So he really opened that up. And again, that's something that we've just had some recent experience with. And that's something that Democrats continue to foster. A difference that between Pat Lucy and the current Democratic Party is Pat Lucy really got a lot of strength from small towns throughout Wisconsin, from rural areas. Pat himself coming from a rural area and being regarded as somebody who knew something about farming. That kind of support is what was currently is lacking in the Democratic base. Democrats are currently getting most of their support from urban areas. That was something that was important to Pat Lucy, too. He was governor at a time when there was a lot of urbanization, kind of the post-World War II development of urban areas, and urban problems had been neglected. In a way, maybe the pendulum went a little bit too far in terms of the base.
Well, let's bring in Phil in Madison with thoughts on Lucy. Hi, Phil.
Hello. Are you there?
Yeah, we're here. Go ahead.
Pat Lucy is probably one of the finest governors we've ever had. I met him first when he closed. He was the lawyer that closed on my first house.
Oh, my goodness.
The guy that sold it was in Africa, so Lucy was his personal assistant. So in any event, a couple years later, my sister-in-law, who's from Mexico City, her younger sister graduated from college or from high school, and she wanted her sister to come up for a visit. They wouldn't give her a visa. My brother called me and said, is there anything you can do? We've dealt with Mr. Brennan in Milwaukee, who's a high-priced lawyer, but they can't get her a visa. So I said, let me see what I can do. So I walked over to the Capitol, met Lucy walking back from lunch up to his office. And I said to him, I said, Pat, how would you like it if you had a relative in Mexico and they wouldn't give her a visit to come and visit you? He said, well, that's terrible, George. And he was like Tommy Thompson. Once you met him, he knew you forever.
So there was the accessibility.
Wow.
Well, you know, Phil, we're really short on time, and I really hate to cut you short. Dennis, anything you can say there very quickly?
Oh, that's a great story. And there are a lot of people who can tell stories that are like that. Maybe not quite as colorful, but yeah, a great story.
Dennis, thank you for joining us.
My pleasure. Thank you. And by the way, my wife, Maxine Austin, and I are sustaining members of Wisconsin Public Radio, and hope lots of other people join us.
Oh, thank you so much. Dennis Dreesing, Professor Emeritus of Public Affairs and Political Science at UW-Madison. His recent book is called Patrick J. Lucy, A Lasting Legacy. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. This is The Morning Show. Stay with us here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. Stay with us next hour. It is 1A. But first, today is Giving Tuesday. It's the first day of our year-end member drive. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. You make the Ideas Network possible when you donate. So join the celebration of giving. Choose WPR this Giving Tuesday and support the programs you rely on all year long with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Just 5 minutes left in this hour, and we have met and exceeded our goal, and I'd like to keep that momentum going. It's been really, really terrific. So make your gift now to support the programs you enjoy and the programs you rely on every single day.
WPR programs are listener-powered, and that means that your donation right now, it truly makes a difference. Keep this momentum going strong on this Giving Tuesday at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, this morning here on The Morning Show, we covered some advice on training your puppy. We talked about some current political events, and in the last hour, we spent some time learning about the history and the legacy of Patrick Lucy, governor of the state back in the 1970s. And, you know, that brief description of the 3 hours kind of describes the kind of conversations you can count on every single day on The Morning Show.
That is right. We go every which way, up and down. WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. It makes the myriad topics you tune in for every day possible. Choose amount that works for you, then make your gift.
And during this member drive, we also have a special gift. You can ask for one of the Reach Out and Read thank you gifts when you give $10 a month or more.
Your donation to WPR will power essential news and quality entertainment, and your thank you gift will provide books to young kids during their doctor visits. So thank you for making a difference for the kids in our community and WPR at the same time with your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
I'm Jen White, the host of 1A. A few months ago, I left a city I love and moved to D.C. But even in this new place, in such a strange time, I feel somewhat at home. Because whenever I listen to my NPR station, I feel connected. If this NPR station makes you feel at home too, become a new member now. Here's how.
Jen, give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. I'm Kate Archer-Kent here with Jean Purcell. Listener support is the biggest source of funding for the WPR programs you rely on. And that's why your support during this year-end member drive is so important. Maybe your gift is $10 a month. Maybe you've decided it's $100 a month. Whatever amount you choose is the right amount.
That's right. And we have met and exceeded our goal for this hour. We'd like to keep it going and get a head start on next hour. So let's keep the calls. Let's keep the pledges coming in online. These hourly goals, by the way, are set up to make sure that we've got the funding for the programs that you enjoy, that you count on. So make your donation right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The world is continually changing. It is really hard to keep up. We journalists are trying the best we can. And as a listener, you rely on WPR for daily news and information.
WPR members make all of this access possible. And today, you can invest in the programs that you rely on. It's your contribution of $10 or $20 a month that keeps the news and conversations relevant and keeps them on the air for everyone to enjoy. Your gift really does make a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Laura in Edgerton says, thank you, WPR, for all you're doing to keep us informed and, most importantly, connected during these heavy times. Laura, thank you for the connection. Your gift is powerful. WPR.org, and thanks.